Hey, welcome to the More Than Money podcast. This is Chris Burns. I hope you're having a fantastic week. Important show today. A new study is out. We've talked about this kind of stuff before, but fascinating. 60% of Americans couldn't cover a $1,000 emergency. And we're going to dig into that on the show today. I will just say this. If you're trying to think of how could I truly make a difference in my financial world this year, whether you are 25 or 55, the number one thing you can do is make sure by the end of this year, you have enough liquid savings to handle an emergency coming up. And it's not paying off your debt, even though that's important. It's not putting more into retirement investments, even though that's important. It's do I have liquid savings? There's nothing you could do that would put you in a better place financially for the vast majority of people than that one thing. So we're going to talk about that on the show. Why do so many people not have really any savings, and what can you do to develop that? And some will also critique some of the ridiculous suggestions that are made, the pop suggestions about how you can develop savings and what actually works. What can you actually do? As you listen to the show, if you have questions about that and about your situation, how you can actually make traction in this area, go to our website. It's mylifeismore.com. You can ask any question. I respond to any question we get by in person. So some of those we talk about on our show, but whether we get to it on the show or not, I respond individually to every person who writes in. So again, you can do that on the website, mylifeismore.com. And while you're there, sign up for our daily update. If you're not a regular radio listener, we do an update every day on WSB in the morning and the afternoon in Atlanta and on B98.5. as well. But if you're not a radio person, every day we create a brand new update about what is going on in the world today. How could it impact your wallet, or why is it significant? And we send it, it's fresh and new every day. So if you want that, go to our website. You can sign up for it, and then you get it in your inbox once a day, like clockwork. And it's a great way just to keep up with what's going on. All right, financial nugget for the day. There are three primary credit bureaus, right? Credit reporting agencies: Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. Which one is the oldest? Okay, of the three major credit reporting agencies, which one is the oldest? This has no practical significance. I just thought it was totally interesting. The answer is Equifax. Equifax, founded in Atlanta, still in Atlanta. We had a major scandal with them just last year. Thank you, Equifax. But founded in 1899 by the Wolford brothers. Okay, now back then there was no, you know, standardized system at all for how someone could be approved for a loan. It was kind of the Wild West of lending. And so Equifax was doing credit reporting, and they would get information about people. They'd make lists of information about creditworthy folks, and then they would sell those to people that were, you know, extending credit. And I loved this. Back in the early 20th century, we still have the welcome wagon. You know, if you move into a new house, you get all the coupons in the mail and everything. And it used to be the welcome wagon, which is an actual company, would send someone, a hostess, to your house. And they would bring you like a basket full of coupons from local stores and things like that. Well, the folks from Equifax partnered with the Welcome Wagon representatives. Now, people didn't know this, but the representative, the hostess, would come into your house to give you all these coupons and kind of say, welcome to the neighborhood. And they would just be looking around at everything you owned, and they'd get a feel for who you are, how you spoke, your character, whether you had decent home furnishings, et cetera. Then they would go back and give that information to Equifax, who would then use that as part of the credit determination. So, wow, you were being spied on. You had no idea. But that was one of the that's the oldest of the credit reporters. So there you go. Fascinating. Will change your life. I'm sure of it. If you have any questions, again, as you listen to the show, go to our website. It's mylifeismore.com, and have a great day. Fascinating new study out about savings. Now, before I even get into it, think about this for a second. If you had an emergency tomorrow, the unexpected came, no matter what it was, how much money do you have liquid available to handle that emergency? I don't want you to include a 401k, anything you'd have to pay income tax on by pulling it out, we're not going to include. Anything that would have some sort of major surrender penalty, we're not going to include. So this is liquid cash that you could pull out in a moment's notice for an emergency. How much do you have? Think about that for a second. All right. This study says that the vast majority of Americans don't have even $1,000 in that case okay, that only 39% of Americans say they'd be able to pay for a $1,000 unplanned expense, all right? And then one in five Americans, so 20%, say if they did have an expense like that, they just would have to put it on a credit card. Now, we know the problem with this, right? Because if I have to put those on credit cards and I can't pay that credit card off the next month, then it's going to start growing at just outrageous interest rates, which negate any of the other saving I'm doing because the interest rates are killing me, okay? But are you in this place? And the reality is, if that many Americans are in this place, a lot of folks listening right now, you'd say, yeah, you know, I don't necessarily even have that $1,000. And even if you do, even if you're not in this, in a place where you couldn't put $1,000 towards a car repair, how much do you have saved? Do you have $2,000, $3,000? What if an expense came up? The same study showed one third of households, and this is not a shock, right? A third of households had some sort of major unplanned expense last year, with half of those costing at least $2,500. So a third of Americans had some expense they didn't plan for, and half of those expenses were at least $2,500 expenses. Now, let's be honest. I'm surprised it's only a third of Americans. Did you have any expenses last year you didn't plan for? I think the other two-thirds are lying here. I know I did. I could look at 10 different expenses last year that weren't on my plan for the year. I think most of us experience that regularly. We walk into any given month and we kind of go, well, let's see what happens here. I told you a few weeks ago in the air, I have one car in the shop right now. It was already in the shop earlier in the year. I have a second car that's had recurring issues. My kids are just about on the cusp of driving now. So suddenly, Lord knows what we're going to be paying in car expenses, but I didn't anticipate these expenses, even with some money built in for that. That's my norm. I'm guessing it's your norm. So how much money do you have set aside for that? Now, here's a funny dynamic. Most of the time, this kind of conversation, it's easy to push this off on young people because many of you listening are older and you do have some money sitting, or you have some funds sitting, but I'm not going to let you off the hook just yet, because I meet with enough folks in their 50s and 60s who are really in a similar boat. You can't include all your savings here. I met with a client last year who had well over $500,000 in their 401k, and this is not abnormal. It's saved consistently throughout decades of work. But looking at their liquid balances, if they hit any sort of emergency, in their case, probably over $5,000, they would have to pull from retirement funds. They didn't have enough sitting there to handle that. And that would be a problem for them because of their age. They were right under 59 and a half. So they have to pay the 10% penalty on pulling money out of an IRA plus income tax on that money. Or they have to take a 401k loan from their existing 401k. They just didn't have much sitting. And a lot of people are in this place. So this is not just for young people. All right. Now, young people might, by and large, folks in their 20s, you know, you might not have a whole lot of money sitting, and it's easy to pass it off, but I want everyone to think about for a minute, how does this impact my life? Because this can be crucial. So I want to give you, this was kind of funny to me. Here's the recommendations that this article gives for, well, how can you, if you're in this place, if you're one of the majority of Americans that have very little saved in liquid savings, and an emergency could come along like that, we all know this, and swamp you, how do you deal with that? So this was a CNN Money article that was talking, even though it was a bank rate study, CNN Money was covering it. And so then they give us some practical examples in their mind. CNN gives you examples of recommendations to bulk up your savings, okay? And I'll just say outright, these are just pathetic. It's just pathetic. We have this culture of bring up these massive issues. Nobody has savings. And the answers we give are just formulaic and worthless. And we're going to go a little past that. But let me give you an example of one of these answers. They say you should find the best savings rate possible. And they say, you know, in our low interest rate environment, you may want to check out online savings. Now, this article is targeted to people who apparently don't have $1,000 saved. Okay, so we're not talking about saving massive amounts of money. We're talking about saving, like, can you carve out extra money every month so you can have $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 saved? So what are the online savings rates they're talking about? Well, the best rates right now, about 1.25%. If you go to Ally Bank or some other online banks, you can get like 1.25% interest on your savings account. Now, admittedly, that makes SunTrust savings rates and some of the traditional banks look ridiculous, right? It's way better. But how much actual impact that does that have on your savings this year, all right? Let's just say, for instance, that you saved, you carved out $50 extra a month for 12 months, okay? You saved $600 this year in your savings account, and you followed their advice, and you got an Ally Bank savings account with 1.25% interest. What has that 1.25% interest given you beyond that $600 you saved? A whopping $4 in interest. All right. So what person who reads this article, who doesn't have any money saved or hardly any, goes, I'm going to follow that advice, goes out and gets a new bank account with a 1.25% interest rate, and now they've got an extra $4 at the end of the year. Wait, wow, we're killing it now, right? These are worthless solutions because they're not actually solutions to the problem. And in fact, it goes against solving the problem, and here's why. They also attach a video to this CNN article, and the video says, how could you save $1,000? So you would assume it's tied to the article, right? The article says nobody has $1,000 saved. Emergencies come along and swamp people. That's a problem. And so how can you save it? So I watched the video, which was a colossal waste of my time, but I did. And one of the first things that the video pops up with is, well, make sure you're putting up to the match in your 401k because that's free money from your employer. All right. Now, I've talked about this many times, but let me just ask you a question. If you're someone right now who doesn't have any money sitting, and the problem is that an emergency could come along and swamp you and you'd have to take out debt for it, how does getting up to the match in your 401k help you with that emergency? Putting money in your 401k is, in essence, locking it away till retirement. And if you try to access it prior to retirement, like we said before, you get a 10% penalty on trying it from the government plus income tax. The only other option would be to take out a 401k loan, which is still a loan. I hate to break it to people that think 401k loans are God's gift to all of us to have extra money floating around. They're not, still a loan, and it can be problematic. I'm not even going to dig into why right now. I have on past shows. I'm sure we'll talk about it again. But that's not solving your emergency fund issue, just to go up to the match in your 401k. These are formulaic, non-helpful answers. So what do you actually do? If you want to end this year, because it is a problem, because most people don't have an emergency fund. And again, I'm not just talking about college students and 20-somethings. I'm talking about folks in their 40s and 50s and 60s who are listening right now who you know you don't actually have money sitting ready for an emergency, that a lot of your money's locked up right now, and to get to it would be problematic. You've got to have an emergency fund. And $1,000 is not enough. All right, my recommendation for this across the board, I've said this many times, is a 3 months of expenses. Not necessarily 3 months of what you earn. My primary concern is if life happened, you lost your job tomorrow, whatever it is, you have at least 3 months of living at your regular, ordinary lifestyle. Now, this is not suddenly eating ramen noodles 3 times a day. This is your regular expenses, okay? And if you have that 3 months, now you have a cushion that gives you the freedom to know if an emergency happens, you'll be okay. So we've talked about that. But how do you get that? Because most people don't have it. Very few people I meet with actually have that sitting aside. And I promise you, the way to get that is not primarily to go get 1.25% interest on a savings account. It actually takes some more difficult choices. But I'm going to give you 3 things you can do. And I think if you implement this, you'd be amazed within a year how much you could have sitting in savings. I've done this with clients in their 50s and in their 20s, and it's amazing how much this can add up by just putting it into use for 1 year. And by the way, if you're someone listening who doesn't need this, you know you have savings, you've always had savings, I would just say take this as a very practical, real tool you can pass on to children, grandchildren, peers that you know that are struggling with this. Because it's amazing what a difference it can make. So I'm going to give you these 3 steps. Before I do that, if you're just joining us, this is Chris Burns. You're listening to More Than Money. And if you have any questions about anything you've heard today or you missed part of this show, jump on our website. It's mylifeismore.com. You can hear past shows, ask questions. Again, mylifeismore.com. So what are the steps you can take to actually make change? Okay. As a nod to CNN, I will mention one thing they said, because I do think one of the things they mentioned was worthwhile, and it's something we talk about regularly. That's automating your savings. automating your savings. The reasons that 401ks tend to be successful for people over time, one of the primary reasons, is because it's automated. You never see it, right? But that becomes a problem when you're saving money after tax because it drops into your checking account. So one easy strategy here is just go to your HR department and change your direct deposit. Put a small portion of your paycheck, whatever you can afford, into a savings account directly deposited. Have the rest come into your regular spending account, but don't ever see the money. Automate that savings so it's growing without you easily just having it in the account, because we know if it's sitting in our checking account, we'll probably spend it, right? So automate savings. That's a great, useful tool. The second thing, though, is something that I've talked about before, but that is certainly not mentioned in this article, and honestly offends or worries a lot of people, but I think it's critical, and that is stop savings everywhere else. And when I say everywhere else, I mean everywhere else, okay? If you don't have money sitting in an emergency fund, you have not earned the right to put money in long-term funds. And I've had people, you know, chafe at that and go, you can't say you haven't earned the right. It's not my choice, it's your choice, but I'm just telling you, you haven't put yourself in a position to benefit from those long-term funds. Why? Because if you don't have money in an emergency fund and you have to swipe your credit card next time you have an emergency, you're offsetting the growth you have in the other funds, right? So the only way to put yourself in a position to really save for the long term is to make sure you have that liquid emergency fund first. So if you don't have 3 months of expenses sitting right now, boring as all get out in a savings account, stop the other stuff you're doing. That includes your 401k. Yes, I know you'll lose the match. It's worth losing the match for a period of time to make sure you have immediate access to the funds you need in case of an emergency for a period of time. Okay? That also includes savings for kids' education. That includes extra money going to credit cards above the minimum balances. Some of you right now, you put a little bit of money aside, maybe a tiny amount, but you are dead set, understandably, because this is the advice that's given so often. You're dead set on, I'm going to put up to the match in my 401k, because that's a traditional advice, and I'm also going to pay as much as I can against my credit cards. And so all your extra dollars are going into long-term savings and paying down the debt you already have. And what is that creating for you? It's creating a cycle of debt, because there's no extra money sitting for the next emergency, which means we're just going to swipe that card again. So stop the 401k. Stop the credit card payments for a period of time beyond the minimum in your credit card. Obviously, don't go into, don't have them write up your credit report. But any extra money going to anything else needs to stop, and you need to put it all, direct all of that towards that savings until you have 3 months. That's my opinion. You might feel like you have to have 4 months because that's where your comfort level is. That's fine. I'd be very concerned about less than 3 months personally. But 3 months of expenses, all right? So stop everything else. You'd be amazing how much extra money is lying out there because of other things we're doing, but we're not making headway. This is a fast way to make headway. And there's one more thing here. Look for dollars in other places. Let me give you a for instance here. I talked about this on our update recently. Shop your car insurance. NerdWallet did a study, and yes, I do love NerdWallet, the website, if you've ever checked it out before. They did a study surveying Americans, showing that the average amount of savings, if you're willing to shop your car insurance around, is $800 a year, okay? But that 40% of Americans had never shopped their coverage. In other words, they'd been with Jim from State Farm for like 40 years, okay? Most of us don't do this because it's inconvenient. And because we assume, I talked with a client about this week, we assume that if we have worked with, and I'm just picking on State Farm, they're a fine company, but if you've worked with State Farm, for 2 decades, that they're actually giving you some sort of a price break for doing that. When the opposite is true, it's more like Comcast, your cable bill. I think I said this on a show recently, that when I was in college, I literally had like a calendar date set for when I would call Comcast because whatever special deal they gave me on cable was going to expire and I had to call back and get the deal again, right? That's kind of how property casualty companies work. You get a good deal up front and they start ratcheting up your costs, all right? And your costs go up and up and up, and you don't know it because you've been with them forever and you assume they're giving you some sort of good, discount for having been with them. No, they're ratcheting up your costs. I had somebody call me recently The national average might be $800 saved. This person was saving thousands of dollars by just shopping their same coverage. All right, so look for dollars. This is a great prime place you might find extra dollars. If you could save $800 by just switching your car insurance next year, and that entire savings went into your emergency fund, what a boost to that. That's real savings. That's not $4 from getting 1.25% in your exciting new online savings account. All right. Another thing just to check in your, I'll use car insurance again as an example. What deductibles do you have? Have you set the lowest possible deductible? Is it like a $500 deductible? Or do you have high deductibles? I would just say this, as your emergency fund increases, your deductibles should increase for any insurance. Because if your emergency fund is enough to cover the deductible, then you can feel confident raising that deductible with the car insurance or homeowner's insurance or anything else. And then that lowers your monthly premiums, which leads to more money in your pocket, which leads to more money in savings. That is how we create efficiency in your savings. All right. Sometimes it's the little things here. So look at switching your car insurance and any other things you can think of. And when I say car insurance, usually that lumps together your homeowner's insurance and everything else. Just see what you could save. Take a few minutes. So stop saving anywhere else. Stop putting extra money towards debt. Stop putting extra money into your 401k. Stop putting money away for the grandkids or the kids. Stop everything for a period of time until that money's flowing in and you have enough in your emergency fund, and look for dollars in other places that you could get better deals on, again, to take the excess to put it in and see how fast you could have that emergency fund built. And then what a difference. What a difference. Because now when that fund is built, you can now aggressively save. You can put way above the match into your 401k because you know you're ready for life and you've gotten out of that cycle of swiping the credit card. So again, most Americans don't have any savings. You can. And you can without having to go out and take on a second job. You can without having to go out and switch your savings accounts to get 1.25% interest. You just have to be strategic about where your money is going, and that can make a difference. By the way, what I love to do with people is to step back to that 30,000-foot view and say, where can we find extra money without you changing dramatically everything about your life? Can we find these funds? Can we change your strategy to put you in a better place? That's what we do with every client we work with. And if you're not in a position right now where you've looked at that before, and again, this is a little embarrassing to you because you're listening to this story and you're going, yeah, I mean, I have $1,000. But I also know that I'm regularly swiping the credit card because we don't have enough saved. And I feel like we're in a cycle. We've been trying to break this cycle for years. Man, I talked to one client. They told me they felt like they'd been married for decades and they kept that same financial cycle. Even though they were saving, it was constantly increasing their debt and not quite being able to pay it off for decades. If you want to break that cycle effectively and you want help strategically thinking about how to do that, this is a no shame zone. We're all about change. I'm not about looking to the past or making you feel bad about where you're at. If you want to really change that, we would love to come alongside you. And you can do that by jumping on my website. It's mylifeismore.com. You can sign up for a free consultation, lay out where you're at, and I'll tell you what we do. Just have a discussion. Are we a fit? Can we help you create a strategy to change this, to stop that cycle, to feel confident about where you're going and actually get traction? Again, it's mylifeismore.com for that free consultation with me, Chris Burns. You can also call a member of my team. I know it's early, but we have an amazing team standing by. That number is 855-224-3526. Again, 855-224-3526.